You have to be your biggest fan. And when things are really tough and they're really rough and nothing's working, but there's something inside of you that says, I just have to follow that. Because you don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet, who you're going to meet.
Hello and welcome along to Better Days with myself, Georgie Crawford and Jerry Hussey. I am so happy that you've tuned in today. This is a very special episode on how we can meet each other where we are. It's not just about grief, it's about how we can show up as humans with compassion and understanding. It's so special. I absolutely loved it. I definitely teared up many times during this episode, so I really hope you're going to enjoy it, and please share it with anyone who you think might need to hear these words today. Before we get into it, just wanted to thank the Health Insurance Authority for supporting Better Days this season. The start of the year is when a lot of people's policies renew, so it is a great opportunity to review your health insurance plan, because without even realizing, you might be overpaying for health insurance, or you could be on a plan that no longer suits your needs. The HIA is a government agency, completely independent, and they're not selling you anything. They're not selling insurance. Their role is to simply help you make an informed choice. You can use their free health insurance comparison tool. I've checked it out. It is so easy to use and so informative. It helps you see what plans are out there and what might suit you better. Check it out on hia.ie.
Listen, we're coming into spring. Does that kind of excite you a little bit?
It's one. Christmas is my favourite time of the year. I love it. I love it because it gives us permission to stop, to slow down. It brings out the inner child in us. So I love Christmas. But then this time of year now, once I begin to see the longer evenings coming, you begin to see the flowers beginning. I just love it. So now, and I do struggle with the lack of darkness. I do struggle with the long nights, the dark mornings. I think everyone knows that. So this is a time now I'm beginning to crave, you know. And then, of course, for sports fans, very shortly, you'll smell the fresh cut grass. Championship is upon us, and there's something magical about this. So it's an exciting time. But it's an overwhelming time for people because, you know, particularly if you've promised yourself, new year I'll do this, and new year I'll do that, and new year I'll... And then suddenly it's new year and you either haven't the courage or you haven't the energy to do it. And then suddenly it's into February, March, and you feel, God, the new year's slipping away. So I would just say to everyone, if that happens to be you, don't panic. Just take a deep breath. It's a long year. Don't be worried about it. You'll get there.
Love it. And every day is the chance to begin again, as you well know, Jerry. Okay, so this is something that I think comes up for a lot of people, and it's around grief. I heard a gorgeous podcast that you recorded with my dear friend Olivia Hunt on grief, on her podcast On Healing. It's such a beautiful podcast. If you're looking for something to listen to at the end of Better Days, I couldn't recommend Olivia's podcast more. But this comes in from a listener who says, we've lost someone deeply important to us. The loss is the same, but the way each of us is grieving couldn't be more different. Some of us want to talk about it constantly. Some of us avoid it. Some are openly emotional and others have gone really quiet. There's no right or wrong way. I do know this, but it's becoming harder to coexist without tension. What's been the most challenging is the frustration we're starting to feel towards each other. One person's silence feels like denial to someone else. Another person's tears feel overwhelming or too much. Small things turn into arguments because underneath it all, we're all hurting, just in different ways. I find myself thinking, why can't I cope like them? Or why can't they see how hard this is for me? Then I feel guilty for thinking that. And underneath it all, I can't stop thinking about my mother who has died. What would she think of us all in this position and fighting the way we are? Please help. I know there's a way forward. We've always been close, but at the moment we feel like we're worlds apart.
Yeah, it's a deep one. And in some ways, maybe more straightforward than people think. So the first thing is take the judgment out. Judgment of self and others. Everybody's deeply heartbroken. And how people deal with heartbreak is very different. get rid of the grief model. The grief model, that famous Kubler-Ross model, was written for people who are dying. There is no grief model for people who are left behind. None. Okay. And yet people say, oh, grief model. It's not. So firstly, no people go to grief. There is no model. It is waves. And suddenly the waves will hit you and you just feel like give it up and you're heartbroken. And then the waves subside and you stand up and suddenly you think, I'm getting back to normal. Next thing you see a photograph or you hear a song and bang. So particularly for that first year and a half, you're just trying to keep your head above water. That's all you're trying to do. And for some people, trying to survive literally looks like go back to work and get on with life because I can't think about it right now. For other people, keeping their head above water is talking about it. Mm. So firstly, everybody is just trying to survive. We all survive in different ways. And then recognize that grief is different. So in this case, I think they lost a mum. So if you had a great relationship with her and you know, you loved her and she knew you loved you, of course you're going to grieve your mum. But imagine for the sibling who didn't have that. I worked with a person once who had an amazing dad, loved them deeply. And this guy was a high-performance athlete. And one day, after a certain competition, he didn't perform well. The dad rang him. The dad was trying to, you know, tell him what he did wrong. He said, Jesus Christ, Dad, will you do something? Will you fuck off and don't ring me again? Just out of desperation. And just pain. He got a call 4 hours later that the dad had passed away. Sudden heart attack all over. So what's he grieving? There's a totally different emotion there.
Mm.
No two people have the same relationship with a mother. So when we grieve, firstly, we grieve the person. Second, we grieve the things we may have said or not said. We grieve the arguments we had or didn't have. We grieve the future that we thought we had that's now disappeared. So not only does everybody grieve in a different way, but your relationship with that person was different. So how could you grieve the same? So what you're grieving becomes very different. Now it's about understanding. We've used this expression in a lot of these episodes, but I think it's really important here. Everybody is doing the best they can. Even the sibling that doesn't want to talk about it, that appears to have gone back to work and just got out of their life. They haven't. Their heart is broken. And this is the only way they know at now to deal with their pain. So in another episode, we talked about not judging someone's behavior, but going deeper and asking why might they be behaving. Hurt people hurt people. So when we realize that they're behaving the way they're behaving simply because they can't handle the pain they're in, well then, so release judgment. Recognize that no two people grieve in the same way. Even though you all lost your mum, I bet she had a different relationship with every sibling. And in those siblings, in those relationships, there's regrets. There's things that were never said for some people. There were things that were said they can never take back. There are moments that will sit with them. So not only is everybody grieving different, the way they grieve is different. The relationship was different. But people are grieving different things.
Mm.
And it takes them different times to come to that.
I think as well, the assuming of what a parent might be thinking after they've passed on is something that holds a lot of people to ransom, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And sometimes it can be a liberating thing. So I had a client once whose wife died when they were only early 30s. They had three young girls. And this magnificent human being, you know, who deeply loved his wife and his wife deeply loved him. And they had a great life of adventure and fun and did these So he raised the kids and did a magnificent job. And like 20 years later, the kids are reared, they're gone to college, she's sitting around the house, and somewhere out of nowhere, he meets this lady. And they begin to fall in love. And the biggest thing he felt was guilt. Am I betraying my wife? So I sat in a room one day and I got him to explain. So you've raised your children. You're an amazing dad. You're an amazing love. You're amazing. You've an amazing love of life. And when your wife was with you, she believed that life was about fun and enjoyment. So now she's passed on. You love her until forever. Mm. And she sees you falling in love now. She sees you having fun. What do you think she would say? And he said, I think she'd tell me, get on with it. So it's a hypothetical thing. I don't know about heaven. I don't know, are people out there? I don't know if they can speak. But sometimes to ask that question can actually be liberating, particularly if you've lost someone. But it shouldn't be judgmental. So it's a question I ask sometimes. The person you've lost, it could be your wife or a sibling, what would they say to you? And most people would say, get on and live your life. Don't be looking back. Don't allow my death to be the thing that's finished your life. Get on with it. So what does getting on with things look like? Now, getting on with things means, what does the first step look like? Because we can't be defined. It's too much responsibility. If you thought that when you die, Georgie, that all your family's life would end, gee, that's a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
What you'd like to know is that, yes, they'd grieve you for a little while, and yes, they'd be a bit sad, but at some point, you'd kind of want to know that they'd get on with it. So it is a useful question at times. What would she think? She wouldn't judge. She'd just say, can you just get back to living life?
Yeah.
So what does that begin to look like? So firstly is sit with the pain. When someone you love dies, it's like a piece of your soul is taken away. No two people grieve the same. You have to somehow live with that piece of your soul missing. And then at some point, you have to try rebuild it. It will never be the same. People say, I want to get back to my old life. It won't be the same. When you lose someone, it's not like you get through it. Or you just get over it. You have to get through it. And then you get to, what does the new life look like? And you have to remove judgment, and you have to remove shame, and you have to remove, what does me getting back to living my life look like? And that's the question that each individual has to ask. Knowing that when they answer that, it'll be very different. It'll be five different responses from five different. But everybody is just trying to deal with the pain first and foremost, and then get back to living their life.
I had this incredible guy on the podcast in 25 called David Fitzpatrick. He won't mind me telling this story. But we sat down, we had the most beautiful conversation for like an hour and 20 minutes. And he spoke about losing his mum, and he was in Australia at the time, and back and forth, and such a close family. But he says that he feels so much guilt, that that is the single-handedly the emotion that is disrupting his life as he moves forward. He can't let go of it. So if anyone is listening and they feel that guilt, what can they do?
I think the guilt is to recognize everybody's doing the best they can. So we've said that, but also you. So no relationship is perfect. So if someone has passed away and your last words were uncomfortable, if there was something you said you wish you didn't, you have to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if someone loved you, they'd forgive you. So the first question is, what does me living my life look like? That might be a first. I have to forgive myself for the time I spent with them, for the time I did spend with them. Then asking, if they love me, which I'm sure they do, and they knew how hard I'm being on myself right now, what would they say to me? And then the lovely question is, what the person that is moved on, what might their wish for me be? And to probably be happy. Think about your own children. You know, for us, any of us that are parents, you know, please God, we'll all move on before our children. And what would you wish be for your children? And I said, yeah, you'd love them to miss us for a little while. But then just be happy. Just be happy. So if your mum has passed away, regardless of what was said or wasn't said, or regardless, she would just want you to be happy. And the greatest fulfillment of her would be to be happy. Because with all the worrying and all the late nights and all we do for our children, our greatest wish is that they can be happy. So by returning to your life, by allowing yourself to find happiness again, that's the greatest gift you can give a parent, living or dead. So if you want to pay homage, if you want to fulfill their dream, it's just be happy. That's all they wanted for you. And anything that is stopping you from being happy is stopping them from the wish that they deeply had for you.
Yeah.
So that's the recovery road. It's not just knowing that you deserve happy to be happy, but the person that died would want you to be happy. And it would weigh heavily on them if they thought that their life and their death was the thing that caused you most pain. So it's that courage to step forward and say, okay, in all the love they give me and all the moments we shared, the greatest thing they would want for me is to be happy. So I'll do that.
If you have a sibling and they don't want to talk about grief, should you respect that?
100%. So the question is, are they ready to talk? Are they able to talk? So you just consistently show them that you love them and you care for them. And they'll talk when they're ready.
Mm.
Or they'll talk in different ways. And maybe they won't talk, but maybe they'll heal because of the love they feel from you. I'm the type of person, the more someone tells me what to do, the more I don't do it.
Yeah.
The more you try to back me into corners, the more I will actually go against the right thing. So people who know me know, just plant the seed with Jerry and he'll come around eventually.
It's so funny, and it's such a bad example in context of what we're talking about. But when we're running half marathons and Jamie will come back in a marathon to find me and be like, come on, you're doing great. Keep going, keep going, keep going. I start running slower.
Now,
some people love the encouragement and they pick up their pace. But for me personally, it just adds a layer of pressure.
Absolutely. And that's a subconscious program. It's nothing to do with what Jamie is doing or saying. It's something in you. And the awareness you have is, I don't respond to this type of stuff. So nothing to do with Jamie. So it's the same in this idea. For some people, having a big open chat about something is life-changing. For other people, I do my own way. I do differently. Everybody deals with fear differently. And like, as long as it's not a majorly destructive like alcohol, or, you know, as long as the coping mechanism is like, some people might just exercise every day for just until I feel safe. Some people might bury themselves in work for a few months just to be distracted. That's okay. It's okay for now, because everybody's just trying to stay above the water. So everybody needs a life vest, but every life vest looks different. So what is it that you can grab right now that's going to get you through the next weeks and months? And to recognize that it is shit. So when you meet someone and they've just lost someone that you love, your instinct is try to say, oh yeah, it must be hard, but you know, you'll be okay and the summer's coming. Sometimes you just need to say, it must be shit, is it? And they say, it's shit. And I say, I get you.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, that's the greatest therapy you can give someone.
Yeah.
Or you say, God, that must be horrible. It is horrible. Okay. So it's allowing people to be as they are. It's allowing them to do the best, because they're doing the best they can in that moment. Now, you know what you need to do is start talking about what you need to do. Fuck what you need to do. I'm doing the best I can. So consistently turn up with an understanding that everybody is doing the best they can. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's reaching for the life vest that keeps them afloat for now. And that's okay.
A short break to mention our sponsor, the Health Insurance Authority. If you're anything like me, which is unorganised and flat to the mat, you might be renewing your health insurance policy year after year without thinking about it, looking at it, anything like that. Well, it is time to take your plan and your health into your own hands. If you don't shop around, there's a good chance you're either paying more than you need to, or you could be missing out on benefits that could really support your health right now. The Health Insurance Authority offers a free tool. It's on their website. It is so good, and it makes health insurance comparisons covering every plan on the market so you can really see where you're at. Head over to their website, hia.ie, where you can explore your options or you can even get support by phone or email.
Finally, Jerry, and this was so insightful and, you know, I can feel your compassion and how much you see other people. You would be very well known for one thing in particular that you say, but I've never asked you what it means because I just presume I know, but you say we're all just walking each other home. What does that mean to you?
It means that we are all eternal spirits. It means that we are part of the divine flame, but we're just little sparks. It means that we are all energy. And that energy manifests as physical. So for a small period of time, that infinite energy becomes a physical Jared and a physical Georgie. And we're scared. And to be humans is to be scared, is to be anxious, is to lose our way. But ultimately, when we recognize that we're all one, so we all come from the same place. So when I look at you, I see me. When you look at you, you see me. The way I can feel more happiness is to make you happy. If we realized that we were all the same person, then I wonder would half of us sit drinking cappuccinos while children starve to death on the other side of the world? I wonder would we drop bombs on each other? I wonder would we use words like they? The I is us all. To hurt another human being is to hurt myself. To damage the soul of another human being is to damage myself. There is no separation between you and me. We're two sparks in the same flame. And at some point, we are going home and we become that energy field again. And the only question that will be asked is, how did you do? Did you recognize the beauty in every human life? Did you recognize that everybody you met was actually you? Did you try to increase the amount of love and kindness in the world? So we've all arrived here. This is just temporary. So everything is moving from non-form into form. We are infinite beings having a finite experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. But I am not my physical. I am not cells. I'm not genes. I'm not bones. I'm not anything. I am something different. I am an energy field, which we call the observer self. And when I sit in that observer self and Georgie sits in her observer self, it's the same bloody person. We're each other. And I think when we recognize that, how could I hurt somebody? How could I hold anger towards anybody? We're all one. And we're just walking each other's home. So where's home? Home is back to that Georgie and Jerry's being released and we just become one being again. So this is just temporary. But we existed before we were born and we'll exist long after this physical experience has happened. What that existence looks like, I'm not sure. But energy can't be destroyed or created. It can only be moved. And we are constantly moving through form, and we are constantly moving through emotion, and we are constantly moving. So the question is, can you move with more love? Can you move with more compassion? When you meet someone, even your enemy, can you see them through the eyes of their pain? Can you see the person that challenges you most as your greatest friend? Can you recognize that we're all one? We're one race. And that's why I don't take sides. I think war is wrong all the time. I think every human life on this planet, regardless of color or creed, is sacred and special. And it's here for a reason. It's here for a purpose. We're sisters, we're brothers. There's no disconnection. So we are all walking each other home, is that we're all here in this temporary human existence. And in this temporary human existence, there is pain and there is heartbreak and there is pain that we never see. And once I'm aware of that, and once I know that we're all connected, can I meet everybody I meet with kindness and love and compassion? That's what that means.
Wow, I couldn't think of a nicer way to end.
Thank you very much, Georgie. God bless.
A huge thank you for tuning in today. I hope you're okay after that episode. Please share with anyone who you think might need to hear it. And we'll see you for one final episode of Better Days next Monday. Lots of love.
Of you that says, I just have to follow that because you don't know who you're going to be.